भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading this morning from Canto 7 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 2, entitled Hiranyakashipu, the King of the Demons, Text number 32, 33 and 34. Since 32 and 33 don't have a purport, I'll just go through them and then we'll chant the text 34.
Urdatyuchair daitang ripankajam sinchantyashray kuchakum kumarune visrashtakeshabharanashuchamdranam srijantyakradanaya vilepire.
As the queens loudly cried, their tears glided down their breasts, becoming reddened by kumkum powder, and fell upon the lotus feet of their husband. Their hair became disarrayed, their ornaments fell, and in a way that evoked sympathy from the hearts of others, the queens began lamenting their husband's death.
Aho vidata akur akarunena na prabho bhavan pranito drigako charam dasham ushi naranam asivritti dhappura krito dhunaye na shucham vivardhanaha.
O Lord, you have now been removed by cruel providence to a state beyond our sight. You had previously sustained the livelihood of the inhabitants of Ushinar, and thus they were happy. But your condition now is the cause of their unhappiness. We'll now chant text.
Ya kritagyena vayam mahipate katham vinasyam asurattame nate tatranuyanam tava virapadayo shushrushatinam dishayatrayasyasi
Tvayashin and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O King, O Hero, you were a very grateful husband and the most sincere friend of all of us. How shall we exist without you? O Hero, wherever you are going, please direct us there so that we may follow in your footsteps and engage again in your service. Let us go along with you. Purport. Formerly, a Kshatriya king was generally the husband of many wives. And after the death of the king, especially in the battlefield, all the queens would agree to accept Sahamaran, dying with the husband who was their life. When Pandu Maharaj, the father of the Pandavas, died, his two wives, namely the mother of Yudhishthir, Bhima and Arjun, and the mother of Nakula and Sahadev, were both ready to die in the fire with their husband. Later, after a compromise was arranged, Kunti stayed alive to care for the little children, and the other wife, Madri, was allowed to die with her husband. This system of Sahamaran continued in India even until the time of British rule, but later it was discouraged. Since the attitude of wives gradually changed with the advancement of Kali Yuga, thus the system of Sahamaran has practically been abolished. Nevertheless, within the past 50 years, I have seen the wife of a medical practitioner voluntarily accept death immediately when her husband died. Both the husband and wife were taken in procession in the mourning cart. Such intense love of a chaste wife for her husband is a special case. Hare Krishna. So, I do not know why this kind of purports are usually my share of the class. But I think about 1.5 or 2 years ago, the same similar purport was there in the Bhagavatam class, and I had given a very elaborate lecture on this system called Sahamaran or Sati, and that is also published in the Back to Godhead magazine. So those who are interested in the subject can kindly take the trouble to either read or pick the tape up. So definitely I am not going to speak the same subject again, because I have already elaborated on this. But just continuing on the theme of the Bhagavad Gita from Gita Jayanti yesterday, We were discussing yesterday at a college program about what is the qualification that is required to assimilate or digest the knowledge that is mentioned by Lord Krishna in the pages of the Bhagavad Gita. His Holiness Vishveshatirtha Swami, Pejavar Swami from Udupi, he gives a very beautiful example. He explains how all the Upanishads, quoting from scripture, he explains how all the Upanishads are compared to a cow, and Krishna is compared to the cowherd man who is milking the cow. If the Upanishads are like a cow and Krishna is like a cowherd man who is milking the cow, then the essence is the milk which is compared to the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is like the calf who drinks the milk, and then that milk is left for all of us, the others, to drink after the calf has drunk the milk. But he was mentioning a very interesting point. He was explaining that when a person milks a cow, then the fingers that are used to milk a cow are the thumb and the forefinger. This is how they do it. This is how they milk the cow. And it is not surprising, he was mentioning, that on the battlefield of the Kurukshetra, when Lord Krishna is instructing the Gita to Arjuna, Krishna speaks the Gita in Jnana Mudra. And this is the Jnana Mudra, using the thumb and the forefinger. So just like a cowherd man will use the thumb and the forefinger to extract the essence of the cow's body, the milk, and give it to the cow and the calf and the others. Similarly, also on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna, by indicating the Jnana Mudra, the thumb and the forefinger, is extracting the milk of the cow, the Upanishads, in the form of the essence, the Bhagavad Gita, and is giving it to all of us. Now, when there is very good cow milk, the cow milk has got a lot of enzymes, a lot of proteins, a lot of vitamins, a lot of things that can nourish a person's body, a person's health. But in order that this milk actually be ingested and digested by the person has to have a very good digestive system. Just imagine a 6 months old baby being given 2 liters of fresh cow milk. You can imagine what happens to that baby. And just imagine a wrestler who is going and having heavy workouts in the gym, also given that 2 liters of milk. Very healthy, nourishing. The result is different. For a baby, the baby is going to have serious health crisis. He is going to have serious trouble because he doesn't have that digestive system developed yet. The milk has no problem. But a person who is grown up, his body is strong, he does heavy workouts, for him to digest that milk becomes very simple and very easy. So Krishna with his hands has milked the essence and has provided that milk to all of us in the form of the Bhagavad Gita. Now the only question is, do we have the digestive power to digest that milk? This milk in the form of the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita has all enzymes, all vitamins, all proteins and all the requirements to nourish the soul and make the soul healthy. The only question is, do we have the digestive power or the power to ingest, assimilate the essence, the nourishment of the milk that Krishna is giving us, the Bhagavad Gita? And therefore, how one is able to digest the knowledge of the Gita, how one is able to assimilate the essence of the instructions that are given by Lord Krishna to Arjuna, is very beautifully illustrated in a story in the Madhya Leela of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I would like to go through these verses of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita as presented by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and conclude by explaining how the qualities that a devotee has are the actual qualifications required to digest this knowledge. We have heard this story several times, but when we actually go through the verses given by Kaviraj Goswami and understand the deep lessons underlying these verses, we actually see how this highlights the different qualities that a Vaishnava must have in his life so that this knowledge makes any sense to his being and actually starts helping him in his very existence. So this is a story when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is on his travels during his South India Yatra. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visits a place called Papanashan, And there in Papanashan, he takes the darshan of Lord Vishnu and then further proceeds to the holy place of Sri Rangam. There Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is welcomed by a Brahman called Venkata Bhatta. And since it's the time for Chaturmas, Venkata Bhatta requests Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, "My dear Lord, you please do not travel any further. Reside here in my house and kindly accept our service." So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now resides in Rangakshetra. And Kaviraj Goswami explains, "Kaveri te snana kori Sri Ranga darshan, pratidina prema vashe karena nartan." Kaveri te snana. Every day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go and take Kaveri snan. And after that, Sri Ranga darshan, would go to take darshan of Lord Ranganath. Pratidina prema aveshe. Every single day, by being completely overwhelmed by love of God, korena nartan, he would dance in front of the beautiful form of Lord Ranganath. Hundreds and thousands of people in South India were coming and were witness to this most miraculous and spectacular dance of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being completely touched by the dance, they were appreciating Lord Chaitanya and were chanting the holy name along with him. And hundreds and thousands of people became devotees in Sri Rangam and all over South India. Kaviraj Goswami now begins the story of how one day when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the Sri Rangam temple, what did he see? "Sei Krishna Sei Kshetre Rahe Eka Vaishnava Brahman Devalaya Asi Kore Gita Avartan." Sei Kshetre, in Sri Rangakshetra, Rahe Eka Vaishnava Brahman. There was one Brahman who was living there. And Kaviraj Goswami has very clearly made the point that he was no ordinary Brahman. "Sei Kshetre Rahe Eka Vaishnava Brahman." And this Vaishnava Brahman, Devalaya Asi, every day he would come to the Devalaya, to the temple, Kore Gita Avartan, and would constantly read the Bhagavad Gita. And as he was reading the Bhagavad Gita, what happened? Ashtadasha Adhyaya Pade Ananda Aveshe. Ashtadasha Adhyaya, not one. It's not that he would come and chant one verse, two verses on one chapter of the Gita. Ashtadasha Adhyaya Pade. All the 18 chapters of the Gita he would read, Ananda Aveshe, with great happiness and joy. But the problem was, Ashuddha Padena, he was not able to read in a Shuddha way, in a proper way. Ashuddha Padena, he could not pronounce the words properly. He could not recite the verses properly. Ashuddha Padena Loka Kore Upahase. And therefore all of the other Brahmans who were there would criticize him, would mock him. Kore upahase. Upahas refers to criticism. Upahas refers to mockery. This Brahman was a Vaishnava Brahman. And the others were, most of them were Smartha Brahmans. The problem was, the Smartha Brahmans were thinking they were very smart. The Smarthas were trying to become Smartas. And they were trying to criticize the Vaishnava Brahman. They were trying to criticize his chanting and recitation of the verses of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And this is a very, very important lesson to learn, that history has not spared any single Vaishnava. Somehow or the other, the life of Vaishnava has been such that there has always been upahas from others. There has always been criticism and mockery from others. From the point of view of the cultural context then, there were Smartha Brahmans who were criticizing. We see even in the life of Kanakadas and Purandardas, Govindpuru and his boys did a beautiful drama on Kanakadas. And we saw how a Vaishnav, he was not a Brahman, but a Vaishnav, was criticized and mocked. Upahas was done by the Smarthas. He wasn't spared. Purandardas wasn't spared. Tukaram Maharaj here in Maharashtra wasn't spared. A great Vaishnav. There was constant upahas from the Smarthas around, from the ritualistic Brahmanas, from the so-called Dharma Dhvajis. They were constantly criticizing them, mocking them. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was not spared. All the Brahmanas at that time were mocking him, criticizing him for giving Brahman Diksha and initiation to people who were not born in Brahman families. Srila Prabhupada was not spared of this upahas. He was trying to do his service.
This Brahman in Sri Rangakshetra was doing his service of reading Gita, and all the Vaishnavas in history have given their life and dedicated to do their service. But when that service was being done, upahas is not an unusual thing. Everywhere in medieval times and all time, Vaishnavas have gone through this. And we will not be spared. Right? Criticism and mockery is a part of Vaishnava life. And how to deal with it and what is the response is also coming in the next verse. How did the Brahman respond to this upahas, this mockery or this criticism? In the Western world, we find so many times all the people around criticize our Hare Krishna devotees. In America, it's not uncommon for someone just to come and say, "Hey man, come on, give up your robes and take a job." It used to be common at that time. And when Srila Prabhupada established the Hare Krishna movement, how much our devotees, Srila Prabhupada's disciples who gave their lives to fulfill their Guru's order, were mocked and criticized. Like our Ravindra Swarup Prabhu explains, that they were double dropouts in those days. They had already dropped out from their regular education because they just didn't find fulfillment there. And then they took to the hippie culture, so they dropped out from their education, and then they dropped out from the hippie culture and came to the Hare Krishna. So they were double dropouts. Dropout from their educational systems and dropouts from the hippie lifestyle. And now people were thinking they didn't take their education seriously. They didn't take their hippie culture seriously. What are they going to do with this? Parents were mocking. Christian priests were mocking. Practically everyone around was mocking them, criticizing them. What are you all doing here? They were mocking and criticizing Srila Prabhupada. Have you come here to convert these Christians or people into your religion? So yes, we see that all the time criticism goes on. And in our book distribution marathon that we are going through, we see when devotees are distributing books, so much upahas. Sometimes people will come and criticize, say words like one guy came at the Dadar Bridge and was shouting, "Stop this! Stop this! Why are you distributing this literature?" He was a follower of a man who gave their 10 commandments to them. And the first commandment was, "You shall not accept Ram or Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you go to a Vaishnava temple, you shall perform some rituals by which you get purified." A man is teaching these teachings and he comes and he starts shouting, yelling, criticizing, mocking, joking, right, blaspheming our devotees. And then, what to speak of all of this? At least if outsiders, smartas, Christians, non-believers, atheists mock, it's fine. Unfortunately, criticism, mockery even enters into the Vaishnava community. And that is a very serious disease. If outsiders mock, we can easily neglect. But when criticism, mockery and blasphemy enters into the Vaishnava community, that is a very serious problem. Already we are handling so much criticism from outside, why should we be a part of criticism within our community? And therefore, every Vaishnava should take it very seriously upon himself that already there is so much criticism, let's not add to it. Already devotees are going through so much, let's not add to the trouble. Let's not add to the misery. So here is the Vaishnava Brahman sitting in the temple and reading the Gita, and all the Brahmans around are mocking him, criticizing him, laughing at him. Kore upahas, doing upahas. What was the response of this Brahmana? Keha hase, keha ninde, taha nahi mane. Keha hase. Sometimes these people were laughing. Ha ha, look at him. He doesn't even know how to pronounce the words. Keha ninde. And sometimes they were doing ninda, criticism. Keha hase. Keha ninde. Taha nahi mane. He did not give any attention to the criticisms and the mockery that these people did. They were ignorant of what the substance of religion was. And in their ignorance, they were doing this. But the Vaishnava Brahman was not ignorant. He did not respond back. Yes, people who might mock, people who might criticize, might do it out of many reasons. One being ignorance, others being envy. But a Vaishnava is not ignorant. If others might be ignorant and might do upahas, might criticize, might mock, we are not in ignorance. At least we are not supposed to be in ignorance. By reading the books of Srila Prabhupada and by hearing the great Mahatmas in our movement, we know what our response should be. Taha nahi mane. This Vaishnava Brahman did not take this mockery seriously. Keha hase, keha ninde, taha nahi mane. Avishta hoya Gita pade. Completely absorbed in his service of reading Gita. Criticisms and mockery should not distract one from one's service. Sometimes when people criticize us, sometimes when even devotees criticize us, we become so depressed, so affected, that it could take us away from the main path, and that is our service to our spiritual master. But here is a classic example of how this criticism, how this mockery did not distract him. Taha nahi mane, he did not take it seriously. Avishta hoya Gita pade. He was not just reading Gita, he was reading Gita avishta with complete absorption. Criticism from others should be an impetus to increase absorption and service. Here this Brahmana is teaching us. They did not distract him. Rather, if that criticism is coming, I'm not going to respond back out of ignorance. Rather, I will increase my spiritual strength. Rather, I'll increase my inner strength by which I can fight back this upahas. I can fight back this criticism in a positive spirit like a Vaishnava does. But in order to do that, where does that strength come from? Avishta hoye. When one is completely absorbed in taking shelter of that service, absorption in our service will give us the strength to neglect the upahas. Absorption in the reading of the Gita gave this Brahmana the strength to neglect the criticisms and the upahas that came from the smart Brahmanas around him. Anandita mane. He was in great joy, absorbed in reading the Gita. It was not just this. What was the result? Neglecting this criticism, he was absorbed in taking shelter of the words of Gita. What was the result that came about because of this? Pulakashru kampasveda yavata pathan. Pulaka, ashru, kampa, sveda. His hair was standing on end. Ashru, there were tears of ecstasy flowing through his eyes. Kampa, he was trembling out of ecstasy. Sveda, perspiration was pouring out of his pores out of ecstasy as he was reading the words of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And this is also a very important lesson that we should learn. Srila Prabhupada would again and again emphasize this, that every single word of the Gita and syllable of the Gita has the potency and the power to bestow upon us pure love of God, which can give us ecstasy. This Brahmana is not reading some high pastimes of Radha and Krishna sitting at Radha Kund. Radha Kund is the place of Madhurya Leela. And here he is sitting in Ranga Kshetra, which is Vaikuntha Bhav. And Radha Kund is the place where people are reading Prema Vilap and Kusuma Mukula Kusumalanjali, or so many different literatures which are high pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And probably that's the understanding, that when we read this high pastimes, then ecstatic symptoms will manifest. Here this Brahman is sitting in Sri Rangakshetra and not reading all of these high literatures and not focusing on the high pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He is reading the Bhagavad Gita. And oftentimes when we read the Bhagavad Gita, our head starts spinning. There is ecstasy in the head. It starts rolling around, right? At 360 RPM. At high speed it starts spinning. The first chapter seems to be interesting because there is a lot of stories there. Second chapter, okay, basic body soul. Third chapter onwards, when the yoga ladder starts, then we get down from the ladder of studying the Bhagavad Gita. It becomes very complicated. And we feel this book will give us prema. Doesn't seem like. All this philosophy of yoga and the yoga ladder and all the yoga rurukshu and yoga rudha and all kinds of terms. This book will give me love of God. This book will give me ecstasy. Look at this Brahman here. Pulaka, ashru, kampa, sveda, yavata, pathan. As he was reading the words of the Gita, Gita was bestowing upon him ecstatic love of God. And all the symptoms of ecstatic love were manifesting on his body. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that people are saying, Swamiji, please speak Ras Leela. He said, why should I speak Ras Leela? You first give attention to Kurukshetra Leela. Kurukshetra Leela, where Krishna is speaking the Gita, has the same potency to bestow love of God as the Rasa Leela of Krishna with the gopis of Vrindavan. And therefore, it is very important for us not just to dwell on these higher subject matters, but to understand even the philosophy of the Gita, right? Or anything that is in relation to Krishna, the knowledge that comes from Krishna can bestow upon us pure love of God and give us advancement on the path of Krishna consciousness. Pulakashru kampasveda yavata pathan. देखी आनंदित होइला महाप्रभुर मन. एंड व्हेन लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभु सॉ दिस, देखी आनंदित होइला महाप्रभुर मन, लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभुज माइंड वॉज इन एक्सटेसी. ही वॉज वेरी वेरी जुबिलियंट टू सी दिस ब्राह्मणा मैनिफेस्टिंग दिस एक्सटैटिक सिम्टम्स जस्ट बाय स्टडिंग द श्रीमद भगवद गीता. एंड श्रील प्रभुपाद्स कॉमेंट्री एंड द पर्पोर्ट टू दिस वर्स इज वेरी रिवीलिंग. श्रील प्रभुपाद एक्सप्लेन्स इन द पर्पोर्ट दैट कृष्ण इज नॉट प्लीज्ड बाय वन्स प्रोनंसिएशंस. If one of our Hare Krishna devotees goes and chants some shlokas and some great brahmanas from South India hear us chanting the shlokas, they take pity and sympathy upon us. Hare, this guy doesn't even know how to pronounce the words properly. As if pronunciation and recitation is the way back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada's commentary explains here that Krishna is not pleased by one's recitation of shlokas. Krishna is not pleased by one's pronunciation, proper pronunciations of verses. Srila Prabhupada explains Krishna is bhava grahi. Murkho vadati vishnaya, dhiro vadati vishnave, ubhayostu samam punyam, bhava grahi janardana. A fool who does not know how to pronounce the words properly will chant Om Vishnaya Nama and it's mistaken according to Sanskrit grammar. Dhiro vadati Vishnave, and an intelligent Sanskrit pandit will chant Om Vishnave Namaha, which is perfectly right according to Sanskrit grammatical rules. One might think, oh, Krishna is very pleased when someone chants properly Om Vishnave Namaha, Om Vishnave Namaha, and that person, he doesn't even know, he's chanting Om Vishnaya Namaha, that's wrong. He'll not get the benefit. Ubhayostu samam punyam, both of them will get the same benefit if they have devotion. It's not a question of proper or improper pronunciation. If someone cannot pronounce properly, he doesn't have to rack his heads to learn how to pronounce properly. And if someone can pronounce properly, he doesn't have to start pronouncing improperly. It's not a question of proper or improper pronunciation. It is a question of devotional sincerity. Like His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj always quotes Srila Prabhupada and says, Krishna is not pleased by the offering. He is pleased by the purpose behind the offering. And therefore, Krishna is bhava grahi. He who appreciates the devotional sentiment of his devotees. And Srila Prabhupada in his commentary quotes, Tadvag visargo janatag viplavo yasmin pratish lokam abadhyavatyapi. The Srimad Bhagavatam and the verses, they even might be imperfectly composed sometimes, in terms of the meter and in terms of the word sometimes, abadhavati. They may not be like the Vedic literature where there is meter and all of that stuff. They might sometimes be imperfectly composed. But those who are the seekers of the essence, the great sadhus, will neglect all of these so-called external flaws and will see the substance of devotion. Devotional service that is permeating every single syllable of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Such literature will create a massive revolution in the lives, the impious lives of the misdirected civilization, and bring about such a transformation. All the Brahmins who are chanting their mantras in perfect meter, with all due respect to them, are still sitting in their respective towns and their respective homes or their respective homes and keeping on chanting their mantras, getting their own intellectual kicks. Here is the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, as was preached by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada all over the world. This message has transformed the lives of millions of people, and this message may not have been spoken in the most perfect language. And in his commentary to that particular verse, Srila Prabhupada explains that yes, our work here is subject to many, many flaws because of not knowing a foreign language. But we are convinced that the message, being a message of devotional service to the Lord, has the potency to change the lives of many in the world. And it has. And so many devotees in our movement is a tacit proof to the fact, yes, there may not be perfection in pronunciation. Yes, there may not be perfection in recitation. Ashuddha pathena. But when the message is pure, that message will bring a revolutionary change and transformation in the lives of the people. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now comes to the Brahmana.
and asks,
Mahaprabhu puchila tare, shuno mahashay. Shuno mahashay, oh mahashay, oh gentleman, oh sir. He asked him this question, Mahaprabhu puchila. Kona artha jani, what artha, what meaning have you understood? Eta sukha hoy, that you are experiencing such joy, such ecstasy. I want to understand. What is it that makes you so ecstatic? What is it that makes your hair stand on end? What is it that makes you, shed tears of ecstasy? Kindly let me know. And the next verse that the Brahmana speaks is amazing, because the essence of this whole story is this verse. Now the Brahman responds. Viprakohe murka ami, shabdartha na jani, shuddha ashuddha gita padi, guru agyamani. Firstly he says, shabdartha na jani. I'm illiterate. I do not know any meanings of these words. I have no knowledge of these verses. So there is no knowledge. And shuddha ashuddha gita padi. I am not even able to recite these verses properly, so there is no competence. In doing any service, two things are needed. You have to have proper knowledge of the service, and you have to have competence and skills to do that, execute that service properly. Here is this Brahman who lacks the proper knowledge because he doesn't know Sanskrit language properly. He doesn't know the Shabdartha, the meanings of the words, and he lacks the competence to do it, because competence is the skill to recite these verses properly. He doesn't have the knowledge, he doesn't have the competence, but the wonderful virtuous quality that he has is, he has the humility to accept that he doesn't have these. Viprakohe murkha ami, I am a fool, I don't understand the Gita, I cannot recite the Gita perfectly. And that is the first step in spiritual progress. Viprakohe murkha ami. Till the day we are not willing to say murkha ami, spiritual progress is miles and miles and miles away. The day in our consciousness, we can say it verbatim, repeat these verses and say it by our lips, but till the day we do not really feel that in our consciousness, viprakahe murkha ami, I am a fool number one. I have no knowledge and I have no competence. Srila Prabhupada did not just say it, he meant it. Bhakti nahi, ved nahi, name khuba boro, bhakti vedanta nama, tumi sarthaka koro. I have no devotion, oh my dear Lord, and I have no knowledge. I do not know how I am going to go and preach in this Western world. Now you kindly make these words come true. And therefore his divine grace, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, could go and change the hearts of people. Could go and create a massive revolution in the world. Why? Because he had this qualification. Viprakohe murkha ami, shabdhartha na jani, shuddha ashuddha gita padi. I don't know this. I don't know how to read it. I don't know how to understand it. But I only know one thing. Guru agyamani. My spiritual master has told me to do it, and I will do it. Srila Prabhupada said, I don't have bhakti, I don't have knowledge, but it is my Guru Maharaj's order to me that I should go and preach in the Western world in the English language. And I am the carrier of the order of my spiritual master. The only thing that a disciple should think of in his life is how I can be the carrier of the order of my spiritual master in my life. And Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Yasya deve para bhakti, yatha deve tatha guru. Tasyaite kathita hyarta prakashante mahatmanaha. To he who has implicit faith in the words of Guru and Krishna, all the imports of the Vedic knowledge are prakashante, are revealed to him from within. And therefore then it's not a question of knowing or not knowing, it's a question of taking shelter of Guru's words. I may know how to recite the verses, or I may not know how to recite the verses. That's not the point. The point is, am I taking the orders of my spiritual master seriously? Many times the instruction that the spiritual master gives, Shabdartha na jani, I may not be able to understand what it actually means, how it is going to unfold in life. And Shuddha Ashuddha Gita Padi. And I may not even have the competence to execute that order. I may not have the knowledge, I may not have the competence. But if I simply give my life to execute the order of Guru, everything else falls in place. And that is the very, very important lesson that we learn from the story. One of Srila Prabhupada's very senior disciple, he was telling the story that he was in Bangalore in the early 80s, and the service that his authorities wanted him to do was to make life members in Bangalore. Now this devotee, he took this service as coming straight from Srila Prabhupada, although his authorities had given it to him. That's like Prabhupada directly telling to please the authorities, to please the spiritual master. So he had decided that I will just give my life to do this, but he was very bad at it. And every month they had to make at least over one or two life members, and the month had passed, there were only 10 days left and he still had not made any life members. So he was desperate, going through the telephone directory to find out if there is any person whom I can contact, and he found a name in the book and directory, and this was Mr. Ganguly. He thought Ganguly means Bengali. So Bengali person, so I can contact him. So he got the telephone number and he called this Mr. Ganguly and said to Mr. Ganguly, I am from the Hare Krishna movement. Can I come and see you today? Just straight like that. Just from the telephone directory. Mr. Ganguly said, oh, you're from the Hare Krishna movement? All right. You can come to see me at 11 o'clock today. And gave the address, were obviously there. This devotee picked up a set of books, his life membership form, some posters and all the stuff that was required, and went there. As he reached the place, he saw that it was a huge, massive campus. It was a big, big office, big campus. And when he came in, there was so much hierarchy there. To get to the Mr. Ganguly's office was difficult. So one secretary after another secretary, somehow or the other, he was convincing them. And finally, as he reached Mr. Ganguly's office, he only came to know that Mr. Ganguly was busy in a meeting. But he anyway sent the message through, and Mr. Ganguly said, bring him in. As he came in, it was a huge air-conditioned office. And Mr. Ganguly was in a meeting. And Mr. Ganguly said to everyone, now the Hare Krishnas have come today, meeting adjourned. Go. I want to talk to the Hare Krishnas. And the meeting was adjourned. Now Mr. Ganguly, apparently and really also, was the boss of the whole company. He was sitting there in his office, that was the biggest office. And this devotee came and sat across. He knew, he's a big man, I don't have more than about 5-6 minutes, I should just spread out everything quickly and, you know, just give my message. So he put the books out and he said, look sir, you are Mr. Ganguly, you are Bengali, and my Guru Maharaj Swami Prabhupada was also a Bengali. So since you are a Bengali and he was a Bengali, he has founded the Hare Krishna movement, so why don't you help support this Hare Krishna movement? Why don't you become a life member? Mr. Ganguly asked, how much money? He said, 2,222 rupees. So Mr. Ganguly said, okay, make me a life member. And he gave a check of 10,000 rupees. He said, you take this 2,222 and this rest is my donation to you. And then later as he took the check, Mr. Ganguly relaxed in his seat and spoke to this man, this devotee, Prabhupada disciple. He said to him, look, actually, don't think that I was convinced by your words to become a life member. And this devotee said, even I know, I didn't say anything to convince you to become a life member. He said, I will tell you why I became a life member. He said, your Swami Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami, was a very close friend of my father in his childhood. Both of them were classmates and they would go to school together. And then they would, Abhay would come on his cycle and his bike, and then he would come and would put the cycle outside, and then they would chat sometimes and they would go to school together. And your Swami Srila Prabhupada and my father in their childhood would play chess together. And Abhay would bring his dabba, lunch box, tiffin box. And then the condition was, whoever would win the chess game would give his tiffin to the other. So that day he would have to fast. So that was the prize. So if Abhay, and he said Abhay would always win, so he would get my father's lunchbox all the time. And then he said, later on my father became a big Sanskrit scholar. He became a PhD in Sanskrit scholar and he took up a job of a professor in a university in Calcutta teaching Sanskrit. And he would tell people that Swami Bhaktivedanta, who started this Hare Krishna movement, was my classmate. And Bhaktivedanta Swami, when I was going through my college and taking my PhD in Sanskrit, would again and again tell me that someday I am going to do something special. Will you help me then? And he said, that time I didn't understand what special this boy was going to do. But now I know what was the special thing he was going to do. and he wanted me to assist him. And then later, Mr. Ganguly said, Srila Prabhupada went to New York and he started the temple, started Hare Krishna movement there, and then he started the temple at Albert Road in Calcutta. And Srila Prabhupada came back to Calcutta for 3 days that particular year. At that time, our Mr. Ganguly, the boss of the office, was about in high school. Right? And Prabhupada was there for 3 days and he came for all 3 days to see Srila Prabhupada, the son. The first day he came, Srila Prabhupada was so sharp, simply by seeing his face, Prabhupada recognized him. Are you the son of Mr. Ganguly? Said, yes, Swami, I am the son of Mr. Ganguly. Said, where is my friend? Said, yeah, he's there at home. Prabhupada said, tell him that I want to see him. Bring him there tomorrow to the temple. So he went back home as a high school student and told his father that Bhaktivedanta Swami is here at Albert Road Temple and he wants you to come and see him, your old friend. He said, what am I? Prabhupada is a big guru and I am a Grihamedhi. I can't show my face to him. He felt so small and tiny in front of Srila Prabhupada. He said, I can't come. He said, but he wants to see you. He said, tell Prabhupada that I'm sick. So the second day he came, again Prabhupada asked him, so you didn't bring your father today? He said, no, Swamiji, he is very sick, he can't come. So Prabhupada said, okay, he can't come, so I'll come to your house tomorrow. So then he went and he told his father, Prabhupada is coming to our house tomorrow. He said, really? I can't believe that. Next morning, Prabhupada, instead of taking the regular route to the morning walk, he knew all the Calcutta routes. All the devotees were wondering, where is Prabhupada going? He changed the route and walked through the different alleys and roads and came to the house of this gentleman and rang the bell. And this boy opened the door. To his surprise, he found Prabhupada with his American disciple and hundreds of Bengali onlookers to see what's happening here. Prabhupada took only one or two disciples inside and said, where is your father? He said, in his bedroom. So Prabhupada walked straight into the bedroom. The father was not sick. He was only tired and feeling very small in front of Prabhupada. Immediately he rose and he said, Swamiji, you have come to my house. I'm so fortunate. I'm really honored. Prabhupada sat there. First he poked him like a friend and he said, hey, you didn't come to see me like a friend does to another friend. And then Prabhupada started speaking to him. This man said to his wife, please get something. So she brought some rasgulla and water and kept it there. And then Prabhupada said to him, why didn't you come? He said, what am I, a very tiny, insignificant fellow? Prabhupada said, no, you're not tiny. My only request to you is, you have the same spark that I have in you. Now you come and you teach Sanskrit to our devotees. You come with me all over the Western world and you teach Sanskrit to all of my disciples. Prabhupada said, you come with me, I will take you. You just come with me, I will take you. Then Prabhupada turned to all of the disciples around and said, actually he was a very intelligent boy. We would go to school together and always he would score more than me, Prabhupada said to all of his disciples. And then Prabhupada left. That afternoon, the junior Mr. Ganguly came back home in the afternoon and his father was sitting there sick. And his father said, give me some water to drink. And this boy gave him a glass of water to drink. He drank that water. He said to the son, Bhaktivedanta Swami said that he will take me. Closed his eyes and left his body. I said, and this Mr. Ganguly spoke to this Prabhupada disciple, said, I didn't understand. When morning he came and said, you come with me, I'll take you. I thought he'll take me to New York, I thought he'll take my father to the Western world to teach Sanskrit. But only after my father said that Bhaktivedanta Swami said that I'll take you, did I actually come to know what he meant. And then Mr. Ganguly said, now you know how it worked. You didn't become a life member because you told me. Prabhupada was doing it. Guru Agya Mani. Whether we have the knowledge, whether we have the competence is not the issue. If we simply execute the orders of Guru, service is no big or small service. Some are asked to do big things, some are asked to do small things. Small or big service is a privilege. And when it comes from the lotus lips of the Guru, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chitte Te Koriya Aikya, the only job of a disciple is to learn how to make it the life's mission. It's not a question of small, big. It's not a question of whether I can do it or not do it. It's not a question of whether I understand how it will unfold or unfold. It's only a question of sincere dedication. And do you know what were the rewards? 6 rewards this Brahmana got. One after another in 6-7 consecutive verses. For his dedication, the rewards that this Brahmana got is explained by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. The first reward, the Brahmana said, Lord Chaitanya had asked him, why are you so much in ecstasy? He said, as I read in the pages of the Gita, I don't see any Sanskrit language there. I only see Shyamala Sundar holding the reins of the chariot. I'm only able to see the beautiful blackish blue form of Krishna, and I don't see anything else, my dear Lord. And this is the reason I'm reading the Gita. Whereas in the Gita, we see so many words, difficult words to rack our brains against. This Brahmana was not seeing the verses and the words. He was getting Sakshat Darshan of Bhagavan Sri Krishna as Partha Sarathi in the pages of the Gita. How we wish we could see Krishna in the pages of the Gita. We see everything else except Krishna. That was the first reward for having followed the words of the Guru. What was the second reward? Kaviraj Goswami explains. Prabhu ke kahe Gita padi tomay adhikar, tumi se jana ho se Gita arthasar. The Lord said, my dear Lord, you have understood, my dear Brahmana, you have understood Gita arthasar. What is the essence of the Gita? The speaker of the Gita, Krishna, is coming and saying, you have understood what is the essence of the Gita. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. Once again now he's coming and he's saying, Gita arthasar, you have understood. That was a compliment coming from the speaker of the Gita. Can there be a bigger person to certify? Can there be a bigger authority to certify who has understood the Gita? No. The Lord, who is the speaker of the Gita, is now certifying that you have understood the essence of the Gita. I mean, what a compliment that was. What a reward that was. That was not all. Third reward. Etaboli sei vipra koila alingan. The third reward came in the form of the mercy. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after having said that you have understood the essence of the Gita, embraced this Vaishnava Brahman in Sri Rangam. Now who receives that? Straight embrace from Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So many others did not receive that in South India. He received that embrace and he started weeping, crying, the Brahmana. Third reward. What was the fourth reward? This Brahmana, he said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Toma dekhi hoy dviguna ananda. When I see you, my happiness doubles. And therefore I conclude that you are none other than Krishna. And Kaviraj Goswami says, Krishna spurthe taramana hanache nirmal ata eva prabhur tattva janila sakal. Prabhur tattva janila. That was the fourth reward. Whereas so many others are considering Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simply to be a saint. Go to South India and most Vaishnavas will honor Lord Chaitanya, but they will honor him as a saint. They will not get entry into the most subtleties, the subtle understanding of the tattva of Mahaprabhu. Here is this Vaishnava Brahman from South India. The fourth reward was Prabhur Tattva Janila Sakal. He understood that Lord Chaitanya is non-different from Krishna. What was the fifth reward? Tabe Mahaprabhur Tare Koraila Shikshan. He didn't just hug him. He stayed with the Brahman for a while. Koraila Shikshan. He gave him teachings. So Krishna gave the teachings of Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Now here was Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. Koraila Shikshan. Teaching the South Indian Brahmana. And then finally the reward was sixth one. Se Vipra Mahaprabhur Bada Bhakta Hoila Chari Masa Prabhu Sange Kabhuna Achadila. For the full 4 months of Chaturmasya, he got to reside in Srirangam with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The personal association of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he became a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. All of these six rewards. Whether it is just the darshan of Krishna in the pages of the Gita, whether it is the compliment from Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, that he has understood the essence of the Gita, whether it is the embrace of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whether it is the understanding of the tattva of Mahaprabhu, whether it is receiving the teachings from Mahaprabhu or residing in the personal association of Mahaprabhu, it all came because of one thing. In humility, he thought himself unqualified and surrendered to the order of his Guru. And thus, if we take shelter of the instructions of our spiritual master, whatever they may be, then all of these rewards in some way, shape or form, we may not have them the same way, the reward of pure devotional service is certain. And that is the essence of understanding the Bhagavad Gita. To take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Guru,
and to make the words of Shri Guru one's life and soul. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavad Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hare.